Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Breaking Football, and you can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. I am here with my co-host, Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and Pro Football Spot. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, Mike. Glad to be back on the pod. Training camp officially over. Second preseason game right around the corner, coming later today against the Bills. Oh, it's a good time, man. You can feel football season every single day. You know, they're doing all the jersey countdowns on Twitter and everything. It's getting closer and closer.
Yeah, have we cut Smallwood yet so that Darby could have his number? I don't think we have we? Is that news dropping?
We've got, you know, positional battles at running back and interior defensive line and cornerback. And all Mike wants to know is if we've cut a guy we drafted last year so that Darby can get a better number. And as I said, I still don't get how the number thing works.
Because of the analytics, Ben. It's very simple.
Right. I forgot about the stats. It's on me.
Before we dig into tonight's game, in which our phenomenal Philadelphia Eagles take on the bewildering Bills of Buffalo, I was searching the timeline for a little something special that I'm throwing together for you, and I came across some interesting takes from some known Eagles beat writers. Ben, I need your opinion on some of these, so let's line them up and knock these depraved carnies down a notch. First up, is this team, this is a quote from Ruben Frank, quote, "Is this team better than last year? ? Ask me in January." Unquote. Ben, do you share the opinion that this is a cowardly dodge?
I remember there's a response to this tweet where it says, you know, like, "All right, Rube, like, great take. I'll be sure to ask you tomorrow what the weather is tomorrow at 2 p.m. Which is to say, like, no one's going to be terribly impressed if you know whether or not this team was good in January. We'll all have watched them. They'll have a record that is supposed to reflect whether or not they were a good team. Like, that's, you know. And so it's your job, amongst all other things, you're reporting on these players and writing these stories, is because you're close to the team, you should be able to give insight as to whether or not they'll be better than they were last year. You've been next to them and reporting on them for the entire process. For those of us who don't have that insight, we would love for you to, you know, give us a look-see there. Or you could just say, wait until the season's over, and then we'll all know together. You know, whatever. At this point, I'm not afraid of saying I think this team will be better than it was last season. If I'm wrong, okay, I have reasons to believe that they'll be better, and I'll cite those, and then I'm sure if I'm incorrect, it means some of those reasons were invalid. It's okay to have that transparent of a process. Or it's okay to wait till January.
It reminds me, there was a guy on Twitter, I think it's at Jared Stranger. He has me blocked now. But I guess 2 years ago, he was saying that he couldn't release his mock draft as the draft was happening. And he was saying, well, I can't release it yet, but I had that pick right, and I had that trade, and I had that. Like, okay, no one is going to be impressed if you got your mock draft right, but you release your mock draft after. Look, call your shot, man. Is this team more talented right now than it was last year? I believe it is. So,
absolutely.
You know, if that plays out on the field, that's fantastic. But have an opinion, bro. You're around it all the time. Like you said, that's part of your job. We're going to go to an even crazier take. All right, so this is from Jeff McClain. Quote, "Is holding Alshon Jeffrey back worth the potential collateral damage? My column." Unquote.
He said, "All right, that's right." He does say "my column" at the end of his quote. Yeah. End of his tweet.
But it wasn't just sarcasm or an attempt at comedy. It was like the real thing. This is why people have that joke when they put "my column ... You know what I mean?
Exactly.
This is in reference to Alshon Jeffrey's shoulder injury before the first preseason game. Now, this is from the actual article. Quote, "All players aren't equal and all players shouldn't be treated the same, but all players should have to earn favorable treatment or otherwise risk disrupting locker room equipoise." First, let me stop you there and say that you don't always need a 25-cent word when a 5-cent word will do. I'm all for grandiloquence, but if you're writing an article for the casual football fan and you find yourself Googling the synonyms for the word balance, just use balance or harmony like a normal person. All right, continuing. Quote, In the case of Alshon Jeffrey, who didn't formally participate in practice for a week, mostly for fear of further injury, the Eagles also gambled away the opportunity for the wide receiver to work on his rapport with quarterback Carson Wentz. By Friday, Peterson said Jeffrey's injury was behind him, end quote. Now, the crazy part of this article to me is that from one side of his mouth, McClain implies that Jeffrey is getting special treatment and missed a week of practice, and then from the other side of his crooked mouth, admits that Jeffrey traveled to Fargo to catch balls from Wentz for a few days in July and was also back in action rather quickly after being held out for reasons that he even admitted that he didn't understand and didn't know where the call was coming from, right? So you're essentially telling people that your article is garbage, written for garbage reasons, with garbage results, followed by garbage theories to try to make all that garbage fit in one single flaming garbage bag. Right?
Yeah, but Mike, you clicked on it, so.
Only to save the gentle listeners of Locked On Eagles from having to click and letting them know how terrible it is. Like I said, usually I work with screenshots off this stuff, but this one I just had to dig into. To also piggyback off this, we're going to bring up our good friend and resident mouth breather, Elliot Short Parks. He was caught in a lie. He was caught in a lie saying that Alshon was not participating in 11-on-11s last week. Brandon Lee Galton from Bleeding Green Nation rejected this claim. And what do you know? Minutes later, ESP tweeted that Alshon was in fact participating in the drill. My question to you, Ben, is why is the international gibberish division of the Eagles media so bent on promoting non-existent strife when it comes to new and departing Eagles players?
Yeah, because I'll definitely be able to answer that question. I have all the information necessary. I don't know. I mean, we just kind of, you know, ripped into Rube a little bit for not shooting a shot. And then you have a guy in ESP who, amongst all the things he does, shoots his shots. And then if and when they miss, he defends them fervently no matter kind of what happens. And you got to at least respect the gumption. But yeah, I definitely agree with you in the sense that there seems to be a desire to be getting and crucifying Jeffrey a little bit before anything keeps rolling, you know, talking about, you know, why is he taking time off from camp and participating in which drills. At the end of the day, rapport with Carson Wentz, let's remember that Wentz is a second-year quarterback. The people who have been here before, who weren't brought in, they only have one more year of rapport with him. And sure, rapport is important, especially for a young quarterback, but it's not like Nelson Aguilar has 4 years advance on Jeffrey in the world of rapport goes.
Right. I mean,
Wentz has only been an NFL quarterback for a year now. And then when it comes to Jeffrey taking time off and worrying about his shoulder injuries, I'm not going to pretend that I know more about the coaching staff or know more about the medical staff. You know, if they think that the safest call is to protect his shoulder and that sacrificing his preseason time, or at least some of it, is worth it, I'm not going to go put on my stethoscope and my, you know, like long sleeve polo like I'm some sort of coach or doctor and then tell you that it's the wrong decision. You know, maybe at some point I get to know that information. But at this time, I'm just going to trust in the staff that they're treating Jeffrey the way that they should. And yeah, I don't know why everybody seems to want to get up in arms about it, but I guess we're still searching for storylines here in the middle of August.
Yeah. And it's like you said, man, I'm not the one getting down there and asking Alshon to turn his head and cough. I don't know how that shoulder is doing. I'm going to trust the staff when it comes to that. And Alshon has a history of some injuries. That's very well documented. I mean, that's the biggest fear I have of him coming into the season is one of his hammies going again. So I understand that part. So why wouldn't you proceed with caution? I mean, you see it all over Twitter. People are like, you know, wrap these guys in bubble wrap. You see what's going on with the Ravens camp right now. It's a freaking it's a train wreck, man. Like, I don't want any of that. Rest him. It's fine. It's a few days. He can go off to the side and learn the playbook. It's not like Malcolm Jenkins bringing DeMarco Murray a chair because DeMarco Murray wanted to sit for the entire practice. He's still working. He's just working on a different field. It's totally fine. Look, I'm reminded by a quote by the great Hunter S. Thompson where he said, "Absolute truth is very rare and a dangerous commodity in the context of professional journalism." And every day as I have to suffer through these Eagles beat writers, I'm reminded of that quote more and more and more. And I wish there were more honest writers out there, and there are. So I don't want to detract from those guys doing great work like yourself, like you do with Bleeding Green Nation and whatnot. And I'm not saying that we should all be careless gamblers taking victory for granted either, but it's also my opinion that unnecessarily divisive non-issues, using that as a reason for an eventual collapse of team harmony is just, it's ridiculous to me. Wentz isn't bawling his eyes out over the departure of Jordan Matthews, as some people would suggest. The team isn't wondering if Alshon has his heart in the game because his shoulder knocked and they were cautious with it. Let's focus on the facts. Let's be the one to bust the false narratives around our team. Let's not be the purveyors of dissent and chaos. This team is going to face enough challenges in the road ahead. There is no need to create any more because you get a penny a click. Have some integrity. Like, that's all somebody, I ask. Yeah.
Somebody get Mike a suit of armor and a shield here. This noble stand from Michael J. Kist up on his soapbox. I love it. I love it.
Now, look, I wanted to mention an opportunity for you, gentle listener. Lockdown Eagles still has some inventory for sponsorship for the upcoming Eagles season. This is a great and affordable way to connect with Eagles fans like you. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to connect with sponsors than from other media forms, so email me directly at lockdowneagles@mail.com. That's lockdowneagles@mail.com. Our rates are reasonable, and based on the volume of listens, you can have your business right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, and we're back. And Ben, I asked four questions on Twitter today from some of the great followers that I have, and I know you put something out there as well. And I wanted to take a look at some of those questions. Let me pull that up right here. Probably going to edit this part out. This is Commissioner Evans at the Jake Evans X. If you had to pick a player getting cut that no one is expecting, who would you guess? There's always a few surprises.
Oh, that's really cool, because I think we kind of touched on this a little bit before the pod, but I'm very worried about fan favorite Chris Maragos, and I'm a big Maragos fan. And if those of you guys who haven't seen Mike in all of his glory, you'll know that Maragos is his twin. So Mike's got a special connection to Chris there.
But I'm gonna warn you to tread lightly when it comes to my twin brother. We talked about, you know, sliding special teams players. This guy has been a special teams darling for us and has been darn handsome while doing it. So why do you think Maragos might get cut?
Right, so you had Terrence Brooks brought in last year. You have Corey Graham brought in this year. And I saw a report, I think it was Jeff Mosher, but I'm not positive, saying that Corey Graham was running with first team special teams and he was taking reps in that regard. You know, no mincing words, Maragos is not the greatest safety on the face of the planet. His special teams play is highly commendable, but he's definitely a liability when it comes to your safety depth that can be improved. A lot of the special teams focus and the special teams obsession of a few years ago, you know, the Eagles still have a fantastic unit and still strength of theirs. They still focus on it, but it's not as much of a, it's not as big of a thing as it might have been in the past. And right now you've got five safeties in whom the Eagles have clear investment. You know, you've got Jenkins and McLeod, who are obviously your starters. Terrence Brooks got a ton of snaps in that Green Bay game. They're getting a long, hard look at him.
Right.
And I like what I see from Brooks. He's definitely not going to be a starter, but I like what I see from him as a backup. And then you have Corey Graham coming in. He played with Schwartz, and he was a starter over in Buffalo. And if you get a guy who is a veteran starter on your bench as your backup, and you're getting special teams rep out of him, I don't see why you're retaining Maragos when you have that sort of production from Graham. On the unofficial depth charts that have been released, he's third string. He's behind Graham, he's behind Brooks. And obviously it would be a shame, but you might see Maragos not make the 53-man roster. I'm sure he's going to go somewhere else and find good production, but I think the Eagles might not have space for him.
So my next move in this whole thing is to at Chris Maragos on Twitter and ask him to come on the show. And Ben, I'm gonna have you defend your opinion to him and see what he has to say about it, because this is blasphemy, man. You can't do that to my twin.
Once you do that, I'll hit up Elliot Shore Parks and have him come on the pod, and we'll see how he feels.
Oh, look, I'll hit him up every day. I would love to have a face-to-face conversation with him on Skype for the world to see. I would absolutely love it. Like that would be like it for my birthday or Christmas. Do that for me, Ben. I can.
Mike's doubling down. I love it.
All right. So let's go to the next question here on Twitter. This is from Kevin Gardner-Gregory at Kevin Gargry. How did you see the backup DT situation shaking out? Depth is unproven behind the starters. What do you think, Ben? Backup defensive tackles. So we've got, you know, Fletcher Cox and Timmy Jernigan, the new addition from the Ravens. It's not a one-for-one replacement with Benny Logan, but, you know, we definitely needed someone like that along the line, or it was going to get ugly with Bo Allen getting hurt and whatnot. So how do you feel about the depth at that position?
Right. It's an interesting spot for sure. That's a spot where I'm going to be watching to see that 53-man cut, what comes through. You've got Destiny Vaio has been taking a lot of those second-team reps for Fletcher Cox, and he came in as a UDFA last year, and he's been performing very well. Was he the one who had that strip sack on Cutler, or was that Aziz Shikthu? I think it was Vaio.
I think it was Vaio.
In the game against Chicago. Yeah, but either way, so he's been performing well. He's been doing a good job in those second-team reps. Elijah Qualls was a guy that I was actually real high on in the beginning of the draft process, kind of in the first half of the year for Washington. As I got more deep into his film, he kind of fell off the ledge there for me a little bit. It became more of a early to mid-day free pick.
Weird how they used him, right? Because he's a big boy that they were using as like an edge rusher, and it was just like the weirdest thing to see.
No, absolutely. And that was I was talking about, I was hitting it up on Twitter a little bit because Pro Football Focus was putting together their, you know, all positional team for the first preseason game, like the guys who graded out best at each position. And on defense, interior defensive line was Elijah Qualls. He had the best grade from Pro Football Focus. Take it for what it's worth. Obviously, it's BFF. For the first week of the preseason, he was one of the best defensive linemen interior they saw. He's got quick hands. He's an ex-boxer. He's got some agility. He's an ex-running back, you know. But you're right. He's a huge guy. They had him lined up anywhere from the zero tech to the seven tech.
Yeah.
And he was just eating double teams left and right and just causing disruption. He was helping those Washington linebackers stay real clean. He was helping their edge rushers produce. And, you know, whenever he got those looks that were one-on-one, you could see the potential there. He's played well. And I think the Eagles system is a really good system for Qualls because he gets the opportunity to just tee off on the quarterback in a rotation. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, leaning on his weight and trying to stay and keep his stamina up for the entire game. He'll just rotate in, get some pass rush reps in, and then roll out.
All right.
And so I like what I see from Qualls. And then also, a guy who I had to look into was Justin Hamilton because he came out on the second team. He's an interior defensive line guy. He's a big boy. He's 315, I think it is, almost 320. And he came out of Louisiana Lafayette. He was an undrafted free agent, I believe, in 2015. And he had monster years there, obviously in a smaller school, but he was a first-team all-Sunbelt sort of guy. And so he's been performing very well in camp. He's definitely been a huge beneficiary of the lack of Bo Allen because Bo Allen's recovering from injury.
Mm.
And so watching Justin Hamilton, I didn't get a good look at how he performed in the first game. He wasn't one of the guys that I was watching. But definitely, as Buffalo comes up later today, Justin Hamilton is a guy that has a roster spot available if he goes and fights for it. And so there's a lot to be watching there. Hamilton's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we don't have a prediction as far as that goes. Sorry about that to Kevin. However, that is something to look for in tonight's game. And we'll talk about that as we go through the preseason and give our projections and see who shined and who didn't. Because there's depth, but it's unproven. And hopefully someone stepped up. All right, what else are you looking for from tonight's game, Ben? We got our first looks at Alshon Jeffrey and Ronald Darby and a host of others in Eagles jerseys. What specifically are you looking for?
Right. I mean, the storylines abound with Jeffrey making his preseason debut, Darby making his preseason debut in Kelly Green or Midnight Green against the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, Matthews and LeSean McCoy are teammates again. But instead of playing for the Eagles, they are playing against the Eagles. A lot of stuff going on there.
So did you see, I'm sorry to cut you off, but did you see what LeSean said about Jordan Matthews coming to the Bills?
Yeah, that was some shade. I was not ready for that. That took me by surprise for sure. I really want to know how that reunion went because I wasn't, wow.
Yeah, if you missed it, LeSean McCoy basically reacted to the trade by saying that Sammy Watkins is much, much better than Jordan Matthews, and it's not close, essentially what he was saying. So big-time shade, especially when 2 years ago, LeSean McCoy was or 3 years ago, LeSean McCoy was the same one saying that Jordan Matthews had the potential to be the best wide receiver in that draft. So it's weird to see a new teammate greet you in that way when you've already been a teammate with that person. So yeah, just a weird, shady situation. Yeah, you like how I fit that in? What else are you looking for in tonight's game, Ben?
Yeah, so I'd love to see, you know, probably see a little bit more of Wentz than we did in the first preseason game, obviously building up to that third one. I'd love to see him have the opportunity to take more shots down the field, obviously just 4-for-4, you know, perfect passer rating, but a lot of stuff in the short to intermediate levels of the field, as you usually see, especially with Jeffrey getting on the field. And then you've got the wide receiver positional battle kind of in those final spots in the depth chart, looking at Bryce Treggs and Marcus Johnson and Greg Ward. These are a lot of really quick guys who can separate down the field. And so it's preseason. I'd love to see them just take some shots because we've heard that Wentz's deep ball accuracy has improved. I'd love to see that in a game scenario. And I'd love to see which wide receivers can go up there and go get his deep ball if it is improved. And that's going to help define who I'm keeping on my roster. So I'd love to see some design plays, either get Wentz out of the pocket, you know, working off some play action, or simply, you know, if you let him audible when he sees a blitz, he sees the coverage he likes, I'd love to see him make some shots down the field. And then obviously on the offensive side of the ball, it'd be nice if the running game picked up a little bit.
Yeah, giving us some help in the running game would be fantastic. Look, I know the Packers did a lot of stuff with blitzes and whatnot against us with that nitro defense, and you know, we didn't want to show our hand against it. So, I mean, I really don't take much about the run game not working too much because there were times where just Morgan Burnett was just screaming off the edge. But I would like to see some signs. I also want to see how our cornerbacks deal with the Bills rookie Zay Jones, who is going to have a more prominent role with Sammy Watkins getting out of town. And I want to see how our receivers do against Tre'Davious White, their first-round pick, the cornerback out of LSU. And I really want to see who wins that nickel position for us and the cornerback two position for us as we move along as well. So that's going to be some interesting stuff to watch for tonight. We're going to be breaking it down tomorrow, giving you the X's and O's and all the reasons and all that good stuff. Ben, we are just about all out of time. You got anything else, brother?
It should be a fun one. Always, you know, always read way too far into the preseason games. That's all I can say. We're going to watch it. One thing's going to happen. We're going to take it way too seriously, so get excited for that.
I'm honestly wondering right now if Cooper Rush might be the next Dak Prescott.
Oh, my gosh. When you tweeted that, I just like I had to breathe for a second. It's like, through the nose, down through the mouth. You and I have already discussed how the phrase, the next Dak Prescott, is the greatest trigger for me of all time. And to pull that on, of all people, Cooper Rush, who's for the Dallas Cowboys, I couldn't handle it.
He's having a Dak Prescott-like preseason, man. Let's not make any bones about it. He is a stud. The Eagles got to be wary of him. You know, once
attempted like 10 passes.
All right, so that's all for us today. Remember, keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.